Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies. You can study a variety of topics such as creative writing, human rights, and the arts. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How did you make it through yesterday's terrible storms, and what will it take for neighborhoods that saw the worst damage to rebuild? The 1-2 punch of twin supercells that bore down on North Texas yesterday afternoon pelted wide areas with flooding rains, high winds, and large hail, and they threw down as many as a dozen tornadoes, powerful enough to rip off roofs, mow down buildings, and toss tractor trailers into the sky. Today, as we deal with the aftermath of hundreds of damaged homes and businesses, utility disruptions and passengers delayed by grounded airline flights, we can at least take comfort in the fact that we all survived. Amazingly, there were no reports of storm-related fatalities and few reported injuries. Throughout today's program, we will bring you updates from the affected areas, but we also want to hear your stories. You can call in to share those at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. We will start this afternoon with some information from Eric Martello. He's a senior meteorologist with the National Weather Service, which provided early warnings of yesterday's storms that were widely broadcast on radio and TV and shared via social media, allowing hundreds of thousands of residents to seek shelter from the storms in time to avoid injury. Eric, welcome to Think.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So what we actually experienced yesterday were two twin supercells that formed almost simultaneously?
Yeah, what it was is we generally had a big upper-level system exiting out from New Mexico. It's still off to our northwest today, but we also had some very moist and unstable air mass across the area and some morning severe weather that developed along the dry line across our western counties through the morning. Unfortunately, outflow boundary from some old thunderstorms that occurred up in Oklahoma overnight had sunk down just about to the DFW Metroplex. And when these two, anytime you get a thunderstorm cell in that kind of environment develop out ahead of the main line like that, these storms tend to dominate their local environments. They can, in themselves, they can rotate on their own. And then when they interact with such old boundaries or old outflow boundaries like we had around the area with the east winds versus just south winds, that helps enhance the circulation, the low-level circulation in these storms. And they both developed right at the same time, south of the Metroplex. And all storms previously that morning had been moving north-northeast with the mean steering flow. And so these storms were just destined to affect the Metroplex pretty quickly. Luckily, we were able to get some advance warning through our media partners, get some quick reaction to the public to take heed and take cover immediately.
Having checked the weather the night before, I saw that it was going to be rainy, but there was no indication of severe weather. At what point did it become clear to you at the National Weather Service that this system was going to be particularly dangerous?
Well, we had been putting out a slight risk for a couple days beforehand. Granted, it was just a slight risk at the time, because when we started getting an idea that this could be bad is when we started noticing what you can't know well ahead of time is with these little subtle short fuse little boundaries that come out of previous old thunderstorms that had occurred the previous night. You can't predict that.
Mm-hmm.
And when that came down and we knew what time of the day it was getting into the peak heating, where we were the most unstable, and then we get the wind shear that's associated with the upper low approaching, all the ingredients were in place that if any cells did develop, especially out ahead of the line, that they could rotate and be particularly dangerous. And in this situation, that's what happened.
So, Eric, the National Weather Service has investigators on the ground today inspecting damage. How do you weight the information gathered from damage reports with things you've collected from radar and satellite and things like witness photos and video in order to piece together exactly what happened?
Well, basically, we take all the information you just noticed, and we're able to also, from the survey teams, get the actual speed estimates of how strong the tornadoes were and what their rankings were and which areas they actually affected. And then we're actually able to combine that with the radar data that we have to kind of get an idea of when the tornadoes touched down, how wide they were, how long their path was, and how strong the winds were and what type of damage they were able to produce.
We put
that into an actual public information statement, just kind of wrapped up in a nice package of kind of the turn of events and areas that got hit and what type of damage was affecting those areas.
When's the last time in recorded history we had a storm big enough to put as many as a dozen tornadoes on the ground in this part of Texas?
Well, the thing about, are you talking about the system as a whole? Because there was several storms that were tornadic. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you just go back to last April and last May across North Texas, especially last May for the immediate DFW area, we had several supercells that went across the area that put down a lot of damage and put down even some brief tornadoes. So actually, if you go back to May 21st, 2011, we had four tornado reports in DFW metro areas and some of the surrounding suburbs, especially including the EF1 that we had in Irving, Texas. And then in the previous month, right before the big Dixie Alley outbreak, we had some tornadoes down towards Maybank and areas just south and east of Dallas. So it hasn't actually been all that long since we've seen this kind of magnitude of tornadoes.
There have been changes in recent years, I understand, in the way the National Weather Service talks about dangerous storms when putting out public reports. Is that correct?
Yes. Obviously, with new technology and with the mobile devices and things of that nature and social media, we're able to go out and reach out to more customers and partners now than we ever have been before through just various different means, whether it's through our media, through TV, through our web page, online, also through our social media page on Facebook, and we're about to also venture on into the Twitter world. You throw in that with the electronic chat rooms that we have with all our media partners and emergency managers, and the information flow is just much better now than, say, it was 10 years ago.
Is it reasonable to say that better information flow probably saved some lives yesterday?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you got to throw a little luck and also, you know, just the sociology of the general public, because everybody reacts to sirens and warnings differently. But I think the effect of the fact that we had all this information flow going on all these different outlets and the media being able to televise actual live footage of an actual tornado on the ground, I think kind of parlayed what the seriousness of the event was, and along with the sirens. And I think everybody knew this was a very serious, life-threatening situation, and most people took the appropriate action. We were very, very fortunate.
Eric, do yesterday's events say anything about what the rest of tornado season will look like, or could they have been simply a fluke?
Well, you know, we've gotten that question quite a bit here recently, and, you know, every event is unique, unfortunately. There's really no way of knowing if a severe thunderstorm season or even a tornado season is going to be more or less every year, kind of like you would do with temperatures and precipitation, like with La Nina and El Nino. It's just, every system is kind of unique in itself, and we try to analyze both the environment and instability versus the wind shear and the storm track, and there's different ways you can get tornadoes produced, and every system is unique in that regard.
And just briefly before we let you go, what do we know about hail damage from yesterday?
Oh, we had plenty of, obviously, in the hail cores to the north, just on the north sides of these circulations of these supercells that passed through, we've had up to hen egg to even baseball size hail, especially along the northern corridors there on the Highway 121 corridor from near Grapevine all the way up through the Colony and Frisco and up towards McKinney, and then, you know, also with the other supercell that went up through parts of southeast Tarrant County and then across towards Irving, we had quite a bit of hail damage.
Well,
and
Eric,
also out west as well.
Eric, we greatly appreciate your hard work and that of your colleagues in keeping the whole region safe. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Eric Martello is a senior meteorologist with the National Weather Service, which, of course, provided early warnings and documentation of yesterday's storms. Weather conditions that pulled off roofs and smashed in windshields and flooded roads, not surprisingly, also had an impact on utility service. Joining us now to talk about power outages and repairs underway is Catherine Cuellar, spokeswoman for the Electricity Transmission and Distribution Company, Oncor. Catherine, welcome to Think.
Thank you for having me.
So how many customers lost power at the peak of the storm yesterday?
Tuesday afternoon, more than 42,000 homes and businesses across Oncor service territory lost electricity at some point. Fortunately, today, Wednesday morning, we have about 4,000 outages remaining, although the places that were hardest hit by the tornadic winds and thunderstorms may have to first complete construction work or await a city inspection before they are able to receive electric service.
What kind of permanent damage? I mean, how many transmission lines and how much equipment will literally need to be replaced?
We're in the midst of making those repairs right now. Oncor has 118,000 miles of lines across more than 400 towns in Texas. And all things considered, we are thrilled at the rate at which we're able to restore power. Obviously, if you are without power, it's not a comfortable or good experience. And I know I have coworkers who were working through the night themselves, even though they were without power and their homes were also damaged by the storm. So we are prioritizing restoration first based on public safety and work to get police, fire, and health officials back online. And then we restore power to as many customers as possible with each subsequent repair. So if you look at our real-time outage management information at stormcenter.oncor.com, you can actually click or tap on the outage icons to see, when possible, the estimated time of repair so that you can plan to safely await restoration.
And am I right about this, Catherine? Literally, this is ironic, on Monday, the day before the storms, Oncor rolled out this new live imaging map to update customers on service areas that have been knocked out.
It's true. For years now, we've had some of the most severe weather in our state's history, including drought, wildfire, snow, and ice. And with each event, although no two the same, customers have indicated that they want more information and they want it to be mobile friendly so that they can access it when they are without service. So we listened to that, and after months of preparation and testing, it went live for April showers. We had no idea that it would be so tested and so popular right out of the gate. We're still open to adding functionality as customers suggest, but by and large, we're hearing that people are just grateful to have more information than we've ever been able to share with them before.
All right, Catherine Cuellar, thank you very much. And tell us again where people can find that live imaging map.
Stormcenter.oncor.com.
All right, thank you very much. Catherine Cuellar is a spokeswoman for the Electricity Transmission and Distribution Company, Oncor. We are speaking this hour with officials who have information about yesterday's storms, but also with those of you who have survived it, who have lived through it. If you'd like to share your story, you can call in to 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. That's where we hear from Tom, who writes, "Our office that has employees working across the DFW area was lucky not to be directly impacted. However, we noticed the amazing job done by the National Weather Service and local media in making it possible for us to take shelter at appropriate times without having to stop everything for blanket warnings. This may be our only venue to praise and thank all levels of government, federal, state, and local, for the amazing job they did in advance to prepare for this kind of event and the useful and timely advice and information they delivered yesterday. We bash these groups a lot. Today, we owe them our gratitude for a job well done." Very nicely stated, Tom. Thank you so much for that email. We have another one here, a nice one from Kay in Dallas, who writes, "I can't thank KERA enough for being on the radio with storm information. After volunteering, a veteran friend and I in the parking garage at the VA hospital in Oak Cliff for an hour and a half, we're waiting for the all-clear announcement that the tornado had passed. The garage is new and unfortunately has a state-of-the-art public announcement system. Fortunately, she says, I drove out to Highway 30, Tollway North in North Dallas when torrential rains came. Surrounded by semis, I drove slowly and listened to KERA with updates. Ambulances, fire trucks, and car wrecks were on both sides of the highway. I just kept listening to all of you and arrived safely home to find my 12-year-old Lab peacefully sleeping. The tornado had jumped LBJ to Farmers Branch in Carrollton. Thanks for the public assistance." And Kay, to that I can only say it is our privilege to be able to serve you in this way and to have wonderful information provided to us from the folks at the National Weather Service and elsewhere. So thank you very much for that. We will continue our coverage of yesterday's storm in just a minute. If you'd like to join us with a story that you have, perhaps let us know what's going on in your part of North Texas. We'd love to hear from you now. The telephone number is 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a multidisciplinary program that allows you the intellectual freedom to design your own master's degree. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. The National Weather Service has officially confirmed at least four tornado touchdowns in North Texas yesterday, and it appears there may have been more. KERA's Shelley Koffler has more about what they left behind.
The weather sirens began wailing around noon as severe storms headed towards Fort Worth, then continued east. For the next 4 to 5 hours, North Texans took cover as winds, sometimes topping 100 miles an hour, blasted through. Drivers on area highways searched for cover.
All I can hear is this roaring sound, this roaring. I pulled off of the exit because the road was flooded.
We had to stop from 40 east under every overpass because the hail was so bad.
And this area at Hillsboro, just hail, heavy, heavy, heavy rain, and I was hydroplaning at about 35 miles an hour on the road.
National Weather Service meteorologist Amber Elliott says the Metroplex usually gets at least one big violent storm system each spring. But Tuesday's tornadoes that tossed 18-wheelers into the air and peeled away rooftops seem bigger than usual.
Our preliminary count is maybe 10 or 12 touchdowns. I know in Forney, it looked like half a mile wide tornado.
Elliott says video confirms touchdowns in Forney, Arlington, Lancaster, and Royce City. A driver on Interstate 80 heading into Forney saw the swirling funnel touch down.
I was on the phone with my wife, and right in front of me, it just looked off to the left. I could see the tornado coming down.
The twister spared the lives of more than 300 children at Crosby Elementary in Forney as it ripped the roof from the school. Then it tore homes from foundations and left a trail of debris as it barreled through the nearby subdivision of Diamond Creek. Harley Struck stared with disbelief at the pile of debris that had been a friend's home.
It's just sad to see all this that happened. We'd always come here and hang out and stuff. Now it's just destroyed. It's really sad.
Throughout the area, there was more destruction. At DFW Airport, hail damaged more than 100 planes. Airlines canceled more than 450 departures at DFW and Love Field. Lancaster reported heavy damage at the Portofino Apartments, where some 700 residents were evacuated. In Arlington, staff of the Green Oaks Nursing and Rehabilitation Center relocated about 130 residents after violent winds clipped one wing of the home. Overall, damages certainly will reach into the millions of dollars. In contrast, the number of injuries were few. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
Joining us now from the hard-hit city of Lancaster, mentioned in Shelley's report, is Jacqueline Fellows. Jacqueline, Lancaster is south of the city of Dallas. Tell us what you have learned about the situation in the hardest-hit neighborhoods there.
Thanks, Chris. About 45 minutes ago, Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson, the mayor of Lancaster, the chief of police, and the Dallas County Sheriff held a press conference to let us know that they are not going to let us see the affected areas until 2 o'clock. But here's what we know. The damage to homes is holding at about 300 homes. There's been about 10 to 12 injuries and no fatalities. The biggest issue that Lancaster is having right now is public safety. The mayor wants people who are in affected areas out of their homes. And he's saying if you have left your home, you're not going back, and please leave your home so that they can figure out how bad the damage really is, because they're still in that stage of determining, yes, your home is damaged, how bad is it?
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about getting out of the homes, there are questions of structural integrity, and something that looks like it might be safe could in fact still collapse.
Exactly. Some of the homes here that we have heard about, some of the neighborhoods we've heard about, you have homes that are completely devastated right next door. A home is standing still and standing upright and is fine. But in these situations are very fluid. They need certified building engineers to determine how bad the structural damage is. And the mayor, in fact, is asking for those types of people who have that experience to come and volunteer because the damage is so widespread.
Any word, Jacqueline, on the effect on businesses in Lancaster?
I haven't seen any so far. Now, I tell you, I saw a downed light pole when I was driving in off of I-20, and when I turned off to go down one of the main roads in Lancaster, I did see a couple of gentlemen with a couple of pickup trucks with a big homemade poster sign saying, generators, half off. So power is not completely restored, but all parts of Lancaster here. Some of the utilities are still down. But that's the only, pop-up business I could say that I've seen.
Any word on state or federal assistance that might be available to folks in the area?
Not yet. I spoke with FEMA this morning. They are still on standby mode, waiting to get instructions from the state that they do need help. Texas State Troopers are down here in Lancaster, along with about a dozen other officers, a dozen other cities who have sent officers to help police and patrol the area, because there's going to be another curfew in Lancaster tonight. They are still worried about looting without power in the area. At night, it's just pitch black.
Mm-hmm. And what is the story for folks who have been displaced from their homes by this storm? Are there NGOs or church groups? Who is helping these people?
The Lancaster Rec Center has been set up as a Red Cross shelter. I know they had a little under 100 people stay there last night. I'm not sure how much more they're going to expand that. But I know churches are also pitching in. There have been some ministry services who are coming in here today, setting up food kits, sending those to churches, and churches are then distributing them out to people that they know who are in need. But right now, the main place to go is the Lancaster Recreation Center that's been set up as a shelter at 1700 Veterans Memorial Drive.
Okay, thanks, Jacqueline. We will look forward to a full report later today on All Things Considered.
Thank you, Chris.
That was Jacqueline Fellows reporting for KERA. Among the North Texas cities suffering the worst damage yesterday was the city of Arlington. We are joined on the phone now by Rebecca Rodriguez, who is Marketing and Community Relations Manager for the city of Arlington. Rebecca, thanks for making time for us. I know you folks have been incredibly busy out there.
It has been. It's been an unusual 24 hours, very busy for a lot of the firefighters and first responders out here, but things are calming down now, and the sun's come out, and folks are really getting a close look at what this tornado has done.
I understand that the worst of the damage is concentrated in the southern part of the city. What do we know about the path the storm took through Arlington?
You know, it's really interesting. It did hit mostly in the southwest neighborhoods of Arlington, but what's made this tornado a little bit different is the fact that it has hit three different areas, mostly, as I mentioned, in the southwest part of Arlington, but the area is sort of widespread. There are three distinct neighborhoods that have been impacted, and so logistically, it made some of the cleanup and some of the response a little bit more challenging initially, and so that's what our first responders were having to deal with, you know, in trying to assess everything.
Has there been overtime authorized for first responders and security folks to deal with the aftermath of the storm?
It has been all hands on deck, and absolutely right. I mean, I was a chief self. One of our assistants, fire chiefs, actually he's been at work 24 hours, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's about ready to leave, so it goes without saying. I pulled out of City Hall at about, I guess, 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon to 3 o'clock to get out myself and some of the neighborhoods, and all of the Fort Worth fire trucks were at one of our fire stations pulled in to assist. It's just what our first responders do as a matter of course whenever this type of thing happens.
And City Hall in Arlington was evacuated for a time yesterday?
You know, what ended up happening Tuesday, yesterday, in fact, was our council meeting day. And so City Hall was filled with people. Our mayor, our council was all in. They were all in early for committee meetings, which occur just before the council meetings start. And at about 1:30, the sirens began to blare. And what everyone had to do was sort of shelter in place. So there are designated areas in the hallways and the stairwells, which are safe areas within City Hall. And everybody was pulled out of those meetings, pulled out of their offices, and asked to please go into the safe areas at City Hall. So for about a good half hour, we, you know, watched on our cell phones, smartphones, and iPads and whatnot, and just kind of watched the weather and watched the storms, and watched the storm move in and move across. It really kind of went more to the west of City Hall, the west of downtown, if you were familiar with Arlington. It's very close to UTA's campus, and so the storm really kind of skirted the downtown area of Arlington, but it was close enough to watch the clouds, watch the movement. You could see the rotation in the clouds, and enough to kind of give you a real sense of what our neighbors were having to deal with in southwest Arlington.
Rebecca, do you have any reports at all about the injury count in Arlington and how serious those injuries might have been?
You know, that is the one thing. When you go in and you look in these neighborhoods, which we were able to walk through some of these neighborhoods last night with Mayor Cluck, some of these homes are absolutely demolished. I mean, there are a couple that are going to be beyond repair. And there was a story of a couple of people who actually went through the storm in these homes. And when you realize that we had only, at this point in time, we know of 7 injuries, 1 critical, it's really amazing. I mean, to think that anyone could sustain that type of to live through a storm like that and have a story to tell is really amazing. This one mom was in a bathtub with her children, and the storm basically ripped rooms from her home. The foundation stayed. There were walls standing still, but she lost a good portion of her house, and she walked away without a scratch, as did her children. So we're hearing lots of those stories, as you always do whenever a tornado hits a city, but it still sort of takes your breath away whenever you realize what some people had to go through just yesterday.
Yeah, it sounds miraculous to imagine that they could have survived, but wonderful.
It is. It is a wonderful story.
Rebecca, we heard from our correspondent working in Lancaster, Jacqueline Fellows, that the folks there are concerned about in making sure that they prevent looting. Is that a worry at all for officials in Arlington?
Well, you know, we have secured the neighborhoods. That happened immediately yesterday, of course. There was power. I think at one point as many as 13,000 residents were out without electricity yesterday. That number, as of this morning at 10 a.m., was down to just 2,000 customers were still without power. So certainly work has been ongoing ever since the storms passed through to restore all power to residents in all neighborhoods. But the biggest concern there is making sure that people can get back into their homes, can secure their property, can secure their belongings and whatnot. But we do have the neighborhoods secured as well. If you drive through Arlington, you'll see that we have barricades up at the ends of these neighborhoods to make sure that looting does not occur. There was not one incident. There was not one reported problem last night in these neighborhoods which were hit by the tornadoes. So obviously we're going to have as many officers as necessary to make sure that continues to be the case.
Last thing I want to ask you is about emergency shelter for people who've been displaced in Arlington.
We only had a report, really, of one family, actually, that sought shelter through Red Cross last night. So this is a situation where neighbors always look out for their own. You know, you hear that lots of churches in the area have opened their doors. I think people were able to sort of seek shelter with their family members. We didn't have too many stories or situations of people who were totally displaced. There were a lot of lessons learned in the city of Arlington 12 years ago with that other tornado that came through. Mm-hmm. So I think the city is building on those lessons and will make things a little bit easier for some folks who do have to face the task of rebuilding.
Rebecca Rodriguez is Marketing and Community Relations Manager for the City of Arlington. Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We are continuing our storm coverage now and invite you to tell us your story, how you got through, how things look in your neighborhood. You can do that by calling in to 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. By the way, I want to let you know that our reporter, Bill Zeeble, is in Arlington right now reporting on the situation, and we will get a live update from him in the next hour of this program. Both hours of Think Today will deal with the aftermath of yesterday's storms. Let's go to the phones now, and on the line in Louisville, we speak to Angie. Hello, Angie.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Okay, so yesterday when all of this was going on, I was in downtown Dallas, and when I was there for a meeting, when I was leaving, you know, I hear all the sirens going off and go to a place that has TV, see what's going on, and I was actually kind of upset once I realized the severity of it, because when I was talking to an official, they told me that, you know, I should be okay to go. I mean, there had already been one touchdown, and they were figuring that I should be able to drive home safe and sound. And when I got up into my car and I turned NPR on and was listening to everything, I went to a restaurant right away, stayed there, and the whole time that I'm there is just the storm, the way the rain was coming, you couldn't see through it half the time, and the building itself was shaking, and I mean, I guess in some of the other areas, it was handled a lot better, but it kind of disturbed me that I was told that I should be okay to drive home from Dallas to Louisville, and I know Louisville wasn't hit, but it was just a little concerning to me.
Well, I'm glad that you had the good sense not to drive anywhere and to get yourself to shelter, and I'm glad you made it through, Angie. Thank you so much for your call.
Yep, no problem. Bye.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. You can also email thinked@kera.org. We have one here from Katie, who I believe is responding to Tom's email earlier in the show. Katie says, certainly the National Weather Service and local governments and media should be thanked for their role in warning us about the tornadoes. However, you're leaving out the many storm spotters who are out there keeping the National Weather Service informed about what is actually going on. And Katie, thank you so much for reminding us of that. We'll go back to the phones now at 1-800-933-5372. This time we have Ed on the line in Arlington. Hey, Ed.
Hi. I came home around noon yesterday, and I was listening to KERA, and so somewhere between 1 and 2 o'clock, I heard y'all interrupt your programming to say there's, to back up a little bit, I live about the midway between what turned out to be the hard-hit area in southwest Arlington near Lake Arlington and DFW Airport, about halfway there. So depending on where you measure from in Euless, I could be a short distance south of there. So when I'm listening to KERA on the radio and I hear you interrupt your programming to say, well, we've got signs of rotation, possible tornado about 3 miles south of Euless, that got my attention.
Sure.
And I just dropped what I was doing and decided, you know, it'd be kind of stupid to run outside and be skewered by a 2x4 if this was in fact a tornado in my neighborhood. So I decided that wasn't too bright, so I stayed inside and listened to the radio, and it was eerily quiet. And I listened for that, what I had always heard was the signature rumbling of sounding like a freight train going by, and I didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, maybe things are okay here, and it turns out they were, but that. I just wanted to say I really appreciated that radio announcement because it was possible that it could not have been okay, and that radio interruption would have been important if it wasn't. I guess if I have one request, if anybody out there knows if it's possible to find on the internet a time loop that shows all of these alleged 12 tornadoes that touched down in the area, if one could see where those were. That would be interesting to look at if anybody knows if such a thing is available.
It sure would. I haven't heard of anything like that, Ed. It might be something that the National Weather Service will compile. If we get information about that, we will certainly pass it on. We are continuing our two-hour coverage of the storms in North Texas yesterday. We invite you to call and share your stories at 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Coming up, we have more reports, and in the next hour, we will also speak with folks from the insurance industry to get information for those of you who have claims to file. We'll be back in just a minute.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a graduate education flexible enough to allow you to explore what matters most to you. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We are spending 2 hours today on The Think Show talking about the aftermath of yesterday's storms, assessing the damage, figuring out how we will begin to rebuild, and also celebrating the fact that the storms, as powerful as they were, did not claim any human lives yesterday. We're very interested to hear your experience during these storms. We would love to hear from you on the phone at 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. Let us know where you were when you went through the storm, what you experienced, what you saw, what you heard, and how you managed to keep yourself in one piece. Again, the number 1-800-933-5372. Let's go on the phones to Elaine in Allen. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, Chris. I had an answer for the gentleman who was asking about a map of the storm locations and times.
Yeah.
I saw an map on WFAA this morning. I think it was in their 9 o'clock hour, and they showed the maps with the touchdowns and the times and the cities. So if he would go on their website, I'm sure he could locate that.
Absolutely. Well, I sure appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Elaine.
Bye-bye.
Again, our number 1-800-933-5372 for you to share your story. It doesn't necessarily have to, you don't have to necessarily have lived through the tornado touching wherever you were, but we would love to know what you saw, what you experienced. Next on the phones, we have Tim calling from East Fort Worth. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hi. Tell us your reactions from yesterday.
I moved to North Carolina a couple of years ago, and I'm recently back in Texas visiting my parents here. And the whole time I was in North Carolina, I've been through a couple of storms over there, but mostly it's just rained. And I never thought, you know, there's no real big thunderstorms over here. And I come back home to Texas, and what does it give me?
Hmm. Well, I'm glad you made it safe. Did you shelter in place?
Yeah. Me and my family, you know, we heard the tornado sirens go off, and we were just like, what's going on? And mm-hmm. We ended up huddling down.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad that everybody's okay where you are. Thanks so much for your call.
Uh-huh.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Let's go next on the phone to Ben, who is calling from North Dallas. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I don't know if this was your impression as well or not, but from my experience yesterday when all of this craziness was going on, it seemed to me, at least based on my recent experience, this was the first time I saw people using a full set of modern media to keep track of and to get help and to keep track of where their loved ones were. As people were in the bathtub, that was said earlier, or in a car under an overpass or wherever, in addition to TV and radio news that always helps people get information, I thought, based on my experience, it was a new experience for me that people were using texting, tweeting, and later on in the evening to share the experience with their friends with a few hours passed. We're using Facebook, so I wanted to know if it seemed to you like this was a historic high for using modern media to handle something like this.
Well, that's a really good point, Ben. I think you're absolutely right. In fact, our interactive manager here, Alan Melson, was keeping track of some of that and watching as people were taking some of the official tweets and messages that were being put out by news organizations and then repeating them, sharing them with friends, responding to them, and then adding to the information that was out there. So that's a great point. Thank you so much for your call. If you'd like to share a story of how you got through the storm, how things look in your neighborhood today, maybe what you've been through, we would love to hear from you. We have several lines open at 1-800-933-5372. Our email address is think@kera.org. Let's go next to Vicki calling from Hearst. Hello, Vicki.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
We were relatively unaffected here in Hearst yesterday. Very thankful for that. My son was in Denton, and he was driving home to Bedford yesterday. About the time that the storm from Arlington was moving through and closing on DFW,
mm-hmm.
which I agree was not the smartest thing, but I think he got on the road before he actually realized how serious the weather was.
I think a lot of people did that.
Yeah. You could tell from the video that they were showing from the choppers and stuff, you know, that there was really a normal amount of traffic on the road yesterday. My comment, though, is about the people who were taking cover under the overpasses and blocking the freeways and the major roads.
Hmm.
He had trouble getting through because he came down, I-35 East, and then he was trying to get in on Airport Freeway into Bedford, where he lives. And he said that, you know, he was really having to zig and zag because there were people taking cover under the overpasses. And that made it very difficult for him. And I know that several of the news, the weather commentators, were seeing video like that and were commentating. In fact, Rebecca on her station said that that was really a selfish thing to do because you protected your car, but you forced everybody behind you to put yourself at risk.
Hmm.
And I just wondered, I know in some states that's against the law. You can be fined if you do that. And I wondered if other people had been kind of put in jeopardy because of that, if they had been on the road. I know when there was the really serious tornado that came through Fort Worth, we were in Evermond, and kind of away from home, had to take shelter in a Dairy Queen. And when we tried to get home later, there were just, I mean, hundreds of cars that were disabled on the roadway because their windshields had been totally knocked out from the heavy hail. And, I mean, it looked like a war zone,
yeah,
you know, because the cars that had been abandoned, they weren't drivable.
Well,
and,
yeah, Vicki, I think
I just thought that was, you know, I understand the self-preservation instinct,
mm-hmm,
but it really creates a dangerous situation, even for emergency vehicles that are trying to get through.
Well, I think you've made some great points there, and I appreciate your call. One thing we will tell you is that experts will say that taking cover under an overpass is certainly no protection in a tornado. I suppose it might protect some might protect your car from hail damage, but if there is large hail falling, you really don't want to be in a car in the first place. You want to stay and shelter in place where you are. Thank you so much for your call. If you'd like to join us, tell your story about yesterday's experiences. The number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Erica in Carrollton. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead, please.
I am a middle school teacher, and it was right in the middle of the day, and I had about 14 kids with me,
mm-hmm,
and they came over the intercom, and we were in lockdown for about an hour, which can be interesting with 14, 13-year-olds.
How did that go?
Well, it actually went pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep the kids calm and everything. And we played a couple games and a little bit of telephone and whatever it took to keep the kids calm, but keep them safe at the same time. And I just want to let parents know out there that in schools, we do our best to keep your kids safe. And so, you know, have faith in us, and because we love your kids almost as much as you do. So,
well, I know that's true. And I will say, Erica, my daughter reported in, at her school that she thought initially that it was a drill, and she could tell by the principal's voice over the intercom that this was a big deal. And she said kids really took it seriously.
They did. And I was thankful for that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, thank you for taking care of your class of students. And I think on behalf of parents everywhere, we're grateful to the teachers who kept everybody calm yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Let's go next on the phone to Connie in Fort Worth. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I would just like to thank you all for broadcasting the information during yesterday's situation. Unfortunately, I didn't know that KERA would do that, so I was trying to listen to a very, very fuzzy AM station in transit from Azle to Fort Worth.
Hmm.
In the future, I'll be sure. My radio set on 90.1. I don't know why I even changed.
Well, I'm glad that you did okay anyway, and thank you so much. We were happy to be able to bring you that service yesterday. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Next on the line, we have Lynn calling from West Texas. But Lynn, I guess you were in Grand Prairie during the storm?
Yes, I was. It was quite a day. And coverage and seeing all the storm front moves in, I was glad to be home instead of out in it.
Yeah.
What was great at the house was my housemate has a dog named Freckles, and Freckles does not like thunderstorms. So she is normally glued to my left leg. She's an Australian Shepherd and shaking with every storm. Well, all of a sudden, before the sirens went off, she disappeared. I couldn't find her. So I checked all the places she normally hides, under the bed, in the closet. Well, I found her in the bathroom, hiding in the tub behind the shower curtain.
Wow.
Obviously was listening to all the meteorologists. And when they said take cover in the bathtub, she went and did it on her own. It was just amazing.
Animals are amazing that way.
Yeah, and she stayed in there until the sirens went off. And then she came out, and then before they went on again, she got back in the tub, and sure enough, the sirens went on again.
Wow.
So I now know that she's our own personal storm detector, because she went into safekeeping before the sirens went, and there she was in the bathtub.
Freckles is no dummy. Well,
yeah, could not get her out.
Lynn, thanks for sharing that story. I'm glad everything's okay with you. And it really is remarkable about animals and their ability to sort of detect threats from natural phenomena. If you'd like to join us with your story of yesterday's storms, the number is 1-800-933-5372, or you can email think@kera.org. Let's go next on the phones to Laura in Plano. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Chris. I just wanted to call in and make a brief comment about the KERA coverage yesterday. When I was driving back home to Plano from Richardson, I heard a child call in, and that y'all put him on the air was awesome. I think he was like 12 years old, and he was describing his experience of being in school and hearing the storm, and it just really touched me. So I really appreciate that y'all allowed one of our younger citizens to contribute his story yesterday.
Yeah, I think his name was Nicholas, and it touched me too because I have kids exactly that age. So I believe he said he was home by himself, which made me think that would be a scary thing for a kid.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you all so much.
Well, thank you so much for your call. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Christina in Dallas. Hi, Christina.
Hi. I was just going to make two comments. One about the bridge comment that was made by a caller earlier. I just recently moved from Oklahoma, where we do get some pretty severe tornadoes and storms and that. And actually, we've been told not to go underneath a bridge because it can actually suck you out.
Hmm.
Not sure how reliable that is, but I do know that it does cause congestion. And also how some people don't take sirens seriously. I know in East Dallas here, they were going off, and then people are still outside mowing their lawn. So I think people need to take the sirens more seriously because they can just pop up any moment in a second's notice, and it could be too late for you to get inside. So.
Yeah, I guess it is that, it's always that question of how early you give a warning, because if you have too many false warnings, people stop paying attention. But clearly yesterday was not a false warning.
Yeah. Exactly. I know when it was in Lancaster, the sirens over here in the Lakewood area were going off.
Hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, obviously tornadoes can change direction, don't know where it's going to happen. So let's just get our mattress and get in the bathtub, because you don't know where they're going to be at, and you don't know when they're going to pop up and drop.
Yeah.
So I think people need to take them a little more seriously because they can be traumatic and, just glad it didn't kill anybody yesterday. So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Glad you made it through the storm, Christina. You take care.
You too. Thank you.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Fort Worth. We have Carlos on the line. Hey, Carlos.
Hi there. Just like to comment on what an incredible TV story this made with the beautiful daylight storms and good news gathering. That I had conference calls this morning with Switzerland, Germany, Spain, Mexico, and everybody has seen it on their local news, and they're all wondering how bad it must be over here. So anyway, I just wanted to comment what a great global dissemination this thing took, and grateful that no one lost their lives over it also.
As are we, and there really was some amazing video footage. I believe it was WFAA that captured that shot of the semi-trailer flying into the air. It's amazing video.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. Carlos,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your call. If you would like to join us, we will continue in the next hour with our coverage of yesterday's storm. We will take more of your calls, more of your emails, and we will receive some more expert reports. We'll talk to a spokesperson for State Farm about the situation for people who need help with insurance. We'll get a live report from our Bill Zeeble, who is reporting in Arlington, and we will have other information that you can use. If you would like to join the conversation again, you can call us at 1-800-933-5372. We are returning in a bit. Remember, you can access all of KERA's news coverage of this storm online at kera.org and through our free mobile applications. Today's show is being engineered by Shelley Canavy. Joe Bellotti is answering the phones. Christine McConnell will produce the podcast. And our senior producer is Jeff Whittington, with special help today from Lindsay Connect. You can learn more about Think, find out about upcoming programs, and download the free daily podcast at kera.org/think. If you've got questions, comments, or suggestions, send those to think@kera.org. I'm Chris Boyd. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more storm coverage.